Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Wednesday. It's 4:30, and it's time for one of my favorite segments of the week. We call it Broad Appeal because I talk to amazing women elected officials and political leaders, movement organizers, and activists from across the state and beyond, because women in those roles have broad appeal. Also, I'm happy to call myself abroad. I mean it with deep and reverential respect. With all of that, super happy to bring to the show this afternoon Representative Angelina Cruz of Assembly District 62 from the Racine area. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here, Maggie. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really excited.
Yes, me too. You are a almost brand spanking new legislator, which is so amazing. But I want people to hear from you about your decision to run for office and how that really came to be, because this is the story that I hear in different versions and forms every single time I talk with, and I think it's very pronounced with, women elected officials. They're doing their job, they're working in their communities, and they'll see a problem or a need, and it really becomes this catalyst, this call to serve. So tell folks, you're a teacher. You've been a teacher for a long time, teaching middle schoolers, fifth graders. Tell us how that work got you into the teachers union and some involvement there, and how this all evolved. How did you become Representative Cruz?
That is a really great question. I like to point out to people that being a politician or legislator was nothing that I had ever aspired to do with my life. Some days I wake up and wonder, is this what I want to keep doing? And I say that jokingly. I am very happy to be in the legislature serving the people of Assembly District 62. But it was quite a journey. I did start teaching in 2003. So for over two decades, I have identified myself as a proud public school teacher, and started as a fifth grade elementary school teacher at Dr. Jones Elementary in Racine, Wisconsin. So it was a K-5, very much in the elementary world. In about 2010, I graduated from UW-Milwaukee with a degree in educational policy. And so that was sort of my world, my trajectory. I just thought that I would be a fifth grade elementary school teacher forever. Fast forward to February 2011.
Yep.
And our governor at that time, Scott Walker,
yes,
passed the budget repair bill, which included...
Let's not call it that. Let's just call it straight up union busting. That's what he did.
thank you, ma'am. Yes, mm-hmm. That indeed is what he did, which really activated... I know I am not unique in terms of that landscape having activated just a world of unionists fighting back, and that was sort of the fire starter, if you will. And so it was at that time that Act 10 was passed, a union busting bill that targeted specifically public sector workers, and I would argue most specifically public school teachers, educators, really from the K-12 world all the way up to the university level. Public educators became public enemy number one to the state legislature. And it was at that time that it awakened in me the understanding that I needed to really invest in my local union in order to defend public education as we knew it at that time in the state of Wisconsin. So I became a building representative in my little elementary school. From there, I became the political action committee chairperson. I became an elected officer and sort of worked my way up to being elected as the president of my local. At the time, it was Racine Education Association. I'm still an REA member, but internally, our two bargaining units, the REA and the REAA, have since combine their governance structure. So we sort of move as one.
Yes.
Internally, we recognize that we needed to combine our efforts, that our struggles were the same.
Yes.
And so from that point on, I was the first Latina to be elected to that position in 2016. And I remain the sitting president of Racine Educators United, which is the umbrella of the REA and the REAA. So I'm serving both as the local union president and as the state elected legislator for Assembly District 62 currently.
Keeps you busy, I would imagine.
Sure it sure does.
One thing that I wanted to talk with you about is we truly have in the state of Wisconsin a public education massive defunding that has been going on. It started under Scott Walker in the Republican-controlled legislature. And the defunding is coming in all sorts of ways and forms. It's a little bit like death by a thousand, and I'm not going to call them paper cuts because it's bigger, but like death by a million gashes kind of thing. So it's both not fully funding, not meeting the needs of school districts, rural and urban. All school districts are hurting right now. But it's also the siphoning of funds out of public schools for voucher schools, which are basically can discriminate at will, reject any student they want, have little to no accountability, not that's on a state level at all. It really depends on the district you're in and how the district tends to operate and oversee, if at all, voucher schools. There is no long-term study that I'm aware of that has ever shown that voucher programs produce better academic results over the long term for kids. So that it's a dubious proposition. Now, I'm going to say all that and say this. Back in the day in Milwaukee, it was a powerful tool to give largely Black and Brown families some additional choices because we had stupidly decided to fund public schools through property taxes, a proposition that will never make any damn sense to me. But I wanted to give you the opportunity to speak a little bit about this because I know that you just introduced a bill to address this failure of the state to be accountable to fund the public schools that benefit businesses and are very much in the best interests of our kids.
Right. So that is, let me think about where to start with that. So, you're correct. The state of Wisconsin is failing to meet its constitutional obligations to deliver a free and fair public education to all the children of the state of Wisconsin, and has been systematically divesting from the public school system for the better part of over two decades. So I would argue it started even before Scott Walker. Scott Walker accelerated it, if that is even,
yes. Yep.
I mean, it's a little mind blowing, right? So 2011, as a teacher unionist, as a union president, we very much characterize Act 10 and the attack on teachers' unions. We understand it as Scott Walker and the Republican legislator going after the last line of defense.
Yeah.
In public school standing in the state of Wisconsin. So I also like to point out that even though there was this concerted attack against our collective bargaining rights and stripping us of those, we still exist.
Right.
Racine Educators United is one of the largest local labor unions in the state of Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Education Association Council, which is our state affiliate, is the largest labor union in the state of Wisconsin. And we are all affiliates of the National Education Association, which is the largest labor union in the country. So we still exist. We're still here. We're still fighting. And that is really sort of what keeps, to the best of our ability, the attack at bay. But we're really, we've come up to a point in time in which I don't see how what we are suffering under is sustainable?
No, it's absolutely not tenable. Like, the dam is breaking and cracking and the water is starting to rush down the river. It's like every single county, every single school district, I feel like, has had to go to a referendum. I was so disgusted and appalled by efforts to introduce legislation by the MAGA regime in this state to ban that practice, to actually, and it's like, what is your point? You won't sufficiently fund the schools, and now you'll take away the one tool they have to scrape and claw their way to at least some way to MacGyver from year to year, and they want to strip that away. I have to ask, why? If the public, if that community votes for a referendum to raise their property taxes to fund their schools, what business is it of the state to step in and say you can't do that? It's an abomination. I wanted to also make this point, and I don't think it gets made quite enough, about voucher schools and some of their awful, awful history in this country. They really first came about, if we understand a voucher to be taking public taxpayer monies that would have otherwise gone into your public schools and sending it to a private, unaccountable, unregulated, no standards, doesn't know if it works, other private school that can discriminate. The first time we saw these en masse in this country was after Brown v. Board of Education. They were called and are now known as segregation academies, and they sprung up all across the South. And their explicit purpose was to allow schools to not permit Black students to attend, but to use public money to fund those schools. We see that operating in a very similar way, meaning they're not saying it's for just white kids, because that would maybe get them in trouble. But the result is, especially in a large district like Racine or Milwaukee, that you have kids, we are segregating our schools. And I just wanted to read this very brief statement. This is from the White Citizens Council, okay? This is its journal back from 1964. It was in Mississippi, okay? Their journal was called The Citizen. And they were trying to encourage white parents to send their white kids to these now all-white segregation academies that didn't permit Black kids to attend and were funded by taxpayer dollars. Here's what this magazine said. See if it sounds familiar to you, Representative. Parents want their children to be raised and educated free from the tensions of racial conflict in the classroom, free from the frustrating drag of mass mediocrity, and free from the blight of self-styled progressive educators whose avowed aim is to turn young Americans from the established inheritance of their fathers to alien theories of collectivism and anti-white racism. It's as if those words were spoken by Charlie Kirk yesterday, or J.D. Vance, or Donald Trump, or any of the other woke police that has been invented out of nowhere. I'm going to stop my rant. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. I'm going to come back with Representative Cruz. Again, she's from Assembly District 62 out of Racine. And we're going to talk about what's coming next. How do we shore up our public schools? How do we solve this problem? Because the kids indeed are our future, and we own them far better than what Republicans have been delivering for our kids in this state. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.